Fern Church, the youngest and, some might say, prettiest daughter of the Reverend and Mrs. Fern Church, had never been more than 2 miles from her beloved home in the small village of Crensham Hollow. Despite her playful mass of blonde curls and pale, forget-me-not eyes, Alice was a thoughtful, caring girl, and the only one of her sisters to volunteer for work as a governess when hard times befell their little family. Though petite and delicate, Alice had an adventurous nature. But on this crisp January morning, her courage had almost deserted her, as tucked inside Mr. Thrumbold's staging coach, she found herself heading further and further north, away from all those she held dear, and towards a new life as the governess of Beeston Hall. She was about to give way to the tears that had threatened since her mother kissed her farewell but a few short hours before, when she was distracted by the undulating form of her travelling companion. Wrapped in the only shawl she possessed and snoring softly in time with the trotting of the horses, Alice's faithful maid, Minnie, slept as soundly as if she were in her own bed. Minnie had been rescued from the London slums by Reverend Fernchurch some years earlier. She'd never lost her earthy London ways, and Alice was immediately comforted by the sight of her friend's easy adaptation to this new circumstance. She vowed then and there to follow Minnie's cheery cockney example and make the best of what was before them.
Right. Well, that's a start. Right. Oh, who are you kidding? Your mind's not on this at all, is it? I can't believe it. I meet a complete stranger for about 2 minutes and now I can't stop thinking about him. That's enough of that, come on. You're overly influenced by your own prose. Get a grip. Concentrate. I'll have some elevenses, that's bound to help.
Lady Hornhouse of Romance, Deirdre speaking. Brenda, it's Susie from the publicist.
Oh, there's no need to shout.
Susie.
Susan, how are you? Brenda Cleveland here. Yes, next month we have a new book out from the golden pen of our own Anna Shelby. I expect my assistant fax you the details. Oh dear.
Deirdre, why didn't you fax them anything?
I told you, I couldn't get hold of Anna last week. You said you'd do it.
What?
I'm sorry, Susie. It seems the writer's had a breakdown.
Brenda?
No, on the motorway, and apparently left all her notes in the car. Anyway, I have a paragraph or two on the new book myself.
No, you don't.
Shut up. No, not you. Do you have a pen? It's a torrid tale of a love lost and then found again, set against a dazzling period background. No, just put dazzling period background. Because I don't know which period it is yet. Look, make something up. Isn't that what you get paid for? Heaving corsets, love torn asunder, that sort of thing. Nothing too raunchy, though. Remember, I don't approve of sex before marriage. Oh, that woman is too pert for her own good. Anna has started this book, hasn't she?
I think so.
What is wrong with Anna these days? She used to be so reliable. I haven't heard a peep out of her since she finished the Quintology.
Well, it was only a month ago, Brenda.
You don't think she's finally found a man, do you? No, that's not very likely, is it?
She's probably exhausted. She's just written 5 books on the trot.
Yes, and she's on a 6-book contract. It's called Working for a Living, Deirdre. Everyone has to do it. Now, perhaps you could ring Anna and tell her I need a plot précis today and the first chapter by the end of the week. No, wait. I'll ring her. I'm going to probe her about her personal life.
Yeah, with all the subtlety of an alien abduction, I expect.
I shall ask her 2 questions. Where she's been all week and who she's been there with.
Cheery cockney example and make the best of what was before them. Oh, it's no good I can't keep my mind on it. I just can't stop thinking about you, Brian. In various different fantasy guises.
Excuse me, is this the train to Marrakesh?
Why, yes, it is.
My God, you're a brave woman travelling on your own in these desperate times. Do you mind if I join you?
Why, no. It will be pleasant to have company. You are...
It's better if you don't know my real name. Just call me Brian.
I'm Anna.
Oh! Oh, I'm so sorry. The train moved so suddenly.
No,
I didn't mean...
No, it's all right. There's no harm done.
Wait. I know we've never met before, and we probably never will again. But these are desperate times.
What are you saying?
I know it's crazy, but I want you.
Like a man wants a woman.
Like a woman wants a man. Take me. Here. Now. In the carriage. Oh yes. Yes. Oh, take me, Brian.
Oi! What the blinking hell's going on? Here, leave her alone.
No, no, you've got the wrong end of the stick. It's all right. This is a sexual fantasy situation where the woman is instigating and controlling my actions. I am merely a figment of her imagination.
Minnie, this is a private fantasy.
Listen, mate, you're a figment. I am a major character. Now sling your rope.
Well, I've never been so insulted in all my life.
Brian? Oh, what did you have to go and do that for?
I thought you had a deadline.
I do. It's just my creative juices don't seem to be flowing.
Really? They seem to be flowing very nicely in that train carriage.
Oh, please. Anyway, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be asleep in Mr. Thrumbold's staging coach.
Well, a girl can only be in undulating form for so long. What's going on?
What do you mean?
Who's this bloke, that fellow on the train?
Him? Oh, just a figment of my imagination. You know, a faceless Adonis servicing the rampant desires of my mind. Well, that sort of thing.
Here, I'm not as green as I'm cabbage looking. Anna, am I not your faithful muse?
Yes.
Have I not, in one guise or another, been in every book you've ever written?
Yes. Apart from Apache of Passion.
Well, that was rubbish.
It was the first thing I'd ever written.
Strong Bear grazed his hand against her throbbing bud of womanhood.
Thank you.
Anna, something's up. And I've a right to know what it is.
It's nothing. I'm just a little... distracted, that's all.
Distracted? You're obsessed. Progressive mental obsession with a sexual act can lead to a multiplicity of neuroses.
Where did you get that from?
I was the housekeeper in Freudian Fever, remember? I'm worried.
Look, hang on a minute.
I've been hanging on all morning. These fantasies are getting out of hand, Anna. I know it must be frustrating for you, what with only having a fictional love life and all. But what about the rest of us, eh? Hanging around in literary limbo, waiting for you to pull your finger out, and I'm not going to say out of where. There's something you're not telling me.
All right. I met a man.
You what?
A man, I met a man.
What, that bloke on the train?
Yes.
But Anna, he's not real. Don't you see? You've been single for so long, your natural yearnings have sent your imagination into overdrive.
You don't understand. He is real.
Oh, yeah, and so am I.
He is.
On a steam train?
Well,
in Marrakesh?
No, not that bit.
In 1914?
Well, obviously I made up the location. But the man is very real.
All right. Where did you meet him, then?
In a craft shop.
In a craft shop?
I was looking at the window display. When I saw him, our eyes met through the plate glass, and I just had to go in.
Hi.
Hi.
Can I help you?
Yes, no. I was just passing. I hadn't noticed this shop before.
Oh, no, well, we've just opened.
Everything looks wonderful. Did you make it all yourself?
Yeah, well, the furniture.
Really? So you made this trunk?
Yes, yes, I did. Are you looking for a trunk?
Yes, I am, actually.
Right, what size?
Oh, quite small.
Well, you know, if you're not sure, I could come round and measure up for you. It's all part of the service.
Oh, really? That would be great. Oh, my goodness, what's this? It's amazing.
Oh, well, that's an African fertility doll.
It's so erotic. Did you make this as well?
No, it's... well, it's African.
Oh, of course.
No, I got it on my travels, actually. And this little Buddha statue as well.
Oh, he is beautiful. So you must have been all over the world.
Well, India and Africa. Amazing places. I brought these two figures back to the shop, but I've grown so attached to them I can't sell them.
Lucky mascots.
Well, yeah, I think they bring a nice balance, you know, the calm of the Buddha.
And the sensuality of the fertility doll.
Yeah. Well, look, here's my car. Just give me a call if you want me to pop round.
Pop round?
And measure up for the trunk. No pressure.
Okay, Brian.
And that was it?
Yeah.
You didn't meet a man, you ordered a trunk.
Yes, but there was subtext. There was definitely subtext. Oh, Minnie, it's the most romantic thing that's happened to me since Joe Warnes pulled down the hood of my cagoule in fifth year and kissed me.
You should get out more.
It's been ages since I've met a man who made me feel like that.
It's been ages since you met a man.
I've been so immersed in writing about love, I've forgotten what it actually feels like. Oh, who am I kidding? I'll probably never see him again.
Why not?
Well, isn't it obvious? I don't have room for a trunk.
But Blimey, you late 20th century women give me the pip. You're supposed to be so liberated with your casual trousers and your clitorises. But when it comes to asking a bloke out, you haven't got the nerve.
Minnie, liberal dress codes and sexual empowerment are not the be-all and end-all of interpersonal relationships.
What's that supposed to mean?
I can't just ring him up without a reason.
You don't need a reason. You've got subtext. You said it yourself.
Yes, but what if he didn't experience the same subtext? What if the minute I left the shop, he screwed up my address and shoved it under a wonky table?
The modern woman knows best.
And anyway, you're right. I've got to get on with the book.
Suit yourself. As long as you can keep your mind on the job. Or off the job, more to the point.
Yes, thank you. Now, where were we?
In a coach undulating.
Right. You feature as Minnie Crabtree.
I gathered that much.
The plucky Cockney maid servant.
So, what's the plot?
I'm not sure. I think I'm just going to let it flow.
What, like in the train?
Yes, can we just leave that now?
Here, hang on a minute. I've had a thought. Why don't I ever fall in love?
What?
Well, there's never any rumpy-pumpy for me, is there? Oh, no, I never get to roll in the hay with those pirates and princes bursting through their trousers with passion.
Minnie, I'm writing historical romance, not soft porn.
Talk about frustration. I want a passionate affair.
Don't we all? Oh, Brian.
Oi, cut it out. This is about me. Why don't I get the benefit of an ardent caress once in a while?
Because you're a supporting character. You know, you're the cheerfully resilient maidservant who helps her mistress find true love. You're feisty and perky and cheeky and
working class.
Yes. Now, can we get on?
Well, far be it for me to posit a fallacious assertion. You may remember me as the philosopher's chambermaid in Descartes' Desire. Perhaps if I get lucky in the book, it'll rub off on you.
Oh, my giddy aunt. It couldn't be.
Hi, Anna.
Hello. Brian, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. I was just passing, and I thought I'd drop by and see if you wanted me to check your dimensions.
I'm sorry?
For the trunk.
Oh, I see, of course. Come in.
Thanks. I'm not interrupting anything, am I?
No, no, no. Not at all. But I'm afraid I have a bit of a confession to make, Brian. I don't think I really have room for a trunk. I'm really sorry. I feel awful.
Look, to be totally honest, Anna, I didn't really come about the trunk.
You didn't?
No, I wanted to ask you something.
You did?
Yes, I was sort of wondering if, just, you know, on the off chance, if you'd fancy, and obviously if you didn't fancy, you know, that'd be fine. I mean, obviously it'd be fine. It's not for me to tell you what's fine or isn't, but if it was, that would be possible, in a casual way, maybe.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite get the last bit.
Would you fancy going out for a drink sometime? I mean, if you're busy and you don't have the time, look, I totally understand.
No, no, I'd really like that. When?
Oh,
How about tonight?
Okay, I'll come around at 8, will I?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see you then.
Hey, are you doing any work this afternoon? You're just going to swan around the house being blissfully happy.
I'm going on a date. I can't believe it. Hello?
Hello, Anna.
Brenda, hi. How are you?
Anna, are you all right? You sound odd.
I'm fine. I'm blissfully happy.
Really? Well, I have two questions for you, Anna.
Okay.
The first is, where have you been?
I haven't been anywhere.
We couldn't get through to you all last week. I was sick with worry.
Oh, no, I know what that was. I took the phone cable out. The washing line broke and I had to use the cable to hang stuff out and then I totally forgot about it and I only plugged it in again on Saturday.
I see.
Sorry about that, Brenda. What was your second question?
It doesn't matter. You've pretty much covered that for me. And now, darling, tell me how the book's coming and, of course, how you are.
I'm fine. And the book's coming along nicely.
What's the title?
Well,
you do have one, don't you, Anna?
Yes, of course, it's
Minnie Crabtree Loses Her Cherry.
It's The Beastons of Beeston Hall.
Oh, that's a bit dull, isn't it?
It's very historical, Brenda. Lots of period detail. Basically, a tale of thwarted love, unimaginable sacrifice.
I bet that'll be me.
And finally, a beautiful coming together.
Mmm, does sound good. Just reassure me, this beautiful coming together, it isn't in wedlock, isn't it?
It's more a metaphorical thing, really, Brenda.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Anna. I'm not a prude. I love sex as long as it's clean, tastefully presented, preferably not standing up and within the bounds of matrimony. Now, who are the characters?
Well, there's Alice Fernchurch, the heroine, and her trusty maidservant.
Yes, yes. Who's the hero?
The hero?
Yes.
The hero is Lord Robert Beeston, a handsome, roguish gentleman traveller who has returned to Beeston Hall to...
help his aged mother.
Help his aged mother, Lady Augusta, save the family home from... from ruin.
Sounds wonderful. How far have you got?
Oh, well, I've nearly finished the first chapter.
You blinking liar.
Wonderful, darling. I told Deirdre you were on the ball. Now, I need to see that by the end of the week.
You do?
I'll send a courier over. Bye.
Brenda? Oh. How on earth am I going to catch up? Right, come on, we better get on with it. See how much we can get done tonight.
What about your date?
I'll have to cancel it.
What? No, you stuff, Brenda Cleveland. You are going on that date.
You're right. I've got a deadline and a date. I'm a modern woman. I can juggle a demanding career and a dynamic social life. Right. What do we have so far?
Same as we had half an hour ago. As the eerie darkness drew in, the two friends arrived under the door to facade that was Beeston Hall.
Right. I'm just going to have another gin and tonic.
Anna,
I can't help it. I'm getting nervous. I haven't been on the date for ages.
Don't think about it. Concentrate on the job in hand.
You're right. Sorry.
They've arrived at Beeston Hall. Why don't you get Lord Beeston out to meet them?
Yes. Good idea.
Right. What does he look like?
Well, he's tall and handsome.
Yes.
With chiselled features and a roguish glint in his dark, piercing eyes.
So would I be right in saying he's a bit like Lord Robert Hastings from our previous saga, Heartbreaker Hastings House?
Yes, I suppose so.
A bit. Right. Let's speed things up then. Bob! Oi! Bob!
Lord Robert Hastings, at your service, ma'am.
Beeston.
I beg your pardon. Lord Beeston Hastings, at your service, ma'am.
Robert Beeston.
Lord Robert...
What's going on?
Allow me to introduce Lord Robert Beeston, Bob, to his friends. I thought he might be able to help.
Alice Fernchurch and her faithful maid Minnie, I presume. I hope your journey was pleasant, dear lady. Why, but you tremble, and your face is pale as milk. Oh, sweet, sweetling, sweet, be not afeard. Know that I love you with a true, burning love.
Hang on a minute. Don't get ahead of yourself, Bob. You don't go telling anyone you love them right at the beginning. And anyway, this isn't Alice.
Hello? Excuse me, what's going on?
I'm so sorry, I'm not wearing my spectacles. You are?
Anna, the writer.
Oh, how do you do? I'm a great admirer of your work.
One chatty, schizophrenic figment of my imagination I can just about cope with. Now there are more of you?
Of course, all your characters. Well, most of them. No offence, but some are a bit two-dimensional. Never manage to stand up off the page. Do you want Alice as well?
No!
Well, just as well, she's a right blooming prima donna.
What the bloody hell is happening to me?
You're having a creative surge. You want to start using it. Time's ticking away. Right, Bob, this is the Beestons of Beeston Hall, in which you feature as Robert Beeston, the chisel-jawed man-mountain of every woman's fantasy.
Well, is it totally necessary to be chisel-jawed? It plays havoc when a fellow's trying to shave.
Thank you, Minnie. Bob, could I just regain control of the narrative, if you don't mind?
But of course.
I was only trying to help.
Now, let's recap. I met a man who I really like. He's coming here in less than an hour. I'm not dressed, I haven't done any work, but I do have two fully grown characters sitting on my desk and I've drunk half a bottle of gin. Ow! Oh, fantastic, now I'm getting pins and needles in my fingers. I'm probably having a heart attack.
That's not a heart attack, that's inspiration. Quick, get this down.
Suddenly, the great door of the hall creaked open. And as if from nowhere, the courtyard was athrong with activity. Where there had been eerie silence, now everywhere was noise and movement. The stable boys brought lights.
Servants ran hither and thither, unloading trunks and portmanteaus.
The delicious smells of mulled wine and roasted fowl fingered their way into the night air.
Fingered their way?
Yes. Is there a problem with that?
No. Very interesting turn of phrase.
Minnie stretched and clambered out of the coach, rubbing her eyes in sleep-fuddled bewilderment.
She struggled to find her bearings and to remember where she was supposed to be, when suddenly a dark shadow loomed up before her.
Lord Robert Beeston, at your service.
Oh, God blimey! She curtsied nervously. How do you do, sir?
Is your mistress, Miss Fernchurch, here?
She's still asleep, my lord. What with the undulations of the coach and all, she nodded off and has been snoring gently in time with the horses ever since.
Minnie? All right, I'm only messing. It's good, though, isn't it?
Yes. I have to admit we're getting somewhere at last.
And now, Anna, I could carry Alice up to her bedroom and quietly marvel at her serene beauty as I lay her gently on the satin counterpane. Oh. If you liked the idea.
Oh, yes, that sounds great.
I was also wondering, Anna, while we are poised, as it were, at this early juncture...
Yes?
Well, would it be possible for myself and Alice, let's say, to fall in love immediately? We could leave a decent interval before the wedding and then spend the rest of the book getting on with our lives. Kissing, having little tiffs, children, that sort of thing.
Bob, where's the drama in that?
I'd imagine there's a lot of drama involved in child-rearing. Watching the little tykes grow... Nursing their illnesses, watching their shiny, smiling faces at play. The joy and pain of parenthood. Very dramatic.
Oh, Bob, that's really sweet. But we're dealing with the drama of love. We need suffering, jealousy, insurmountable art. Oh, my God, look at the time. I've got to get ready.
Thanks, goodbye. Right, I'm going on a date.
Right, oh, God.
Don't think about it. Oh, I haven't been on a date in... Oh, I can't remember.
Calm yourself, Brian. Men and women, it's a natural thing.
The way may be long and winding, Brian, but the end will always be in sight.
But why are you saying that to him? What does that mean?
I am influencing his thoughts. This is our only function here.
Maybe I should take something. Flowers or a gift, maybe?
Take Hassel here. I'm sick to death of his stupid nonsense. How's that for influencing his thoughts?
It does not matter to me where I am, because everywhere is the same place, only in a different location.
I wish I could be more like you, little Buddha.
You want to be fat and bald and 18 feet high?
I wish I could find my inner calm.
Brian... She will have fear in her belly just like you.
I wonder if she's as nervous as me. She seems so together.
But she nearly dropped me on the floor. Together? She is woman. She is a flower trembling on the hillside, waiting for the night breezes to stare her petals, waiting for man. Who is the wind to lift them and press his hard breath against her stem? You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my God, sex. No. It's only a first date.
First date, second date. It doesn't make a bit of difference where they're down. We are here to make babies, Brian. A woman wants your seed.
What are you saying this to him for? You are frightening the boy half out of his wits. Brian, chill out.
Chill out?
We small Buddha statues have moved with the times. You fertility dolls would do well to do the same. Everywhere is overpopulated, and still you ply your trade with no thought, no concern over the poor, helpless couples who are drawn together in the feverish lust of procreative desire.
No. No, and there speaks the deity who can't see his own dick.
What am I going to wear?
I don't know. You've got too much choice. Corset and a hessian skirt, you'd be away in a hat.
What about that one?
I wore that when I was a bridesmaid, Lord Beeston.
It was a charming dress.
Yes, but it sort of screams wedding.
What's wrong with what you got on?
Tracksuit bottoms and an egg-stained T-shirt.
No. Anna must dress as befits a lady.
She's not being presented at court, Bob. She's going down the pub.
But I never dress up for anything. I lived my life in a tracksuit, and now I've finally been invited out by a man on a date. I want to look nice. I want to go to the ball.
Oh, you shall, Anna. Oh,
you shall. Blooming Nora, calm down, the pair of you.
Right. Let's try this and this and... Oh, this is brilliant. It's like being in the Windy House at primary school.
Anna, you're getting overexcited.
Oh, look! My puffball skirt!
Brian, it is nearly time. Look what you are doing, you meddling doll. You are pouring terrifying thoughts into the poor man's head.
Chill out. All I am channeling is that woman is a great ticking womb searching for the strong seed to plant in her garden.
No. You are all the wrong way round. The minds of a man and a woman must meet before their bodies are introduced. Then their spirits may sing together, and they may know if there is harmony or discord. But now you have filled his mind full of pulsing pudenda. How can he sing?
Now, okay, fat boy. You have made your point. Brian, come on now. Everything will be fine.
Blimey! It's nearly 8 o'clock and I'm still in my overalls.
But calm yourself. Think of the breeze in the papaya leaves.
Remember, true beauty lies in the soul. She won't even notice your dowdy, paint-spattered clothing.
The minute you walk, don't
apply. You're not wearing that.
Why not?
Because it's bright red, floor length, and covered in sequins.
I think she looks beautiful, like a million stars sparkling in the heavens. Mm. You'll dazzle him, Anna.
Blind him, more like.
When a girl comes over all Shirley Bassey Minnie, she just can't fight it.
Well, couldn't you just tone down that lipstick a bit? You know what Freud said about that?
Yes, it represents... Oh, my God, give me a tissue. Oh, it's him. Oh, my goodness, it's him.
Anna, lift your skirt up or you'll trip.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure you're okay,
Mum? Oh, yes, I'm fine. The doctor said it was only a mild concussion.
I got such a fright when I looked through the letterbox and saw you trapped under that bookcase.
Thanks for calling the fire brigade.
Oh, that's okay. I'm sorry your dress got ruined. We couldn't keep a grip on you without pulling it. You see, the sequins gave great purchase, but the fabric itself was quite flimsy.
Oh, don't worry about it. You do know I wasn't going to go out in that, don't you? I just wear it to write in. It's my lucky dress. Well, except for tonight, obviously.
I thought you looked lovely.
Really?
Listen, I'll come round tomorrow and see how you are, and then I can rehang your front door properly. Anyway, bye.
Bye. I think I'm in love. I could have danced all night. I could have danced all night.
Yeah, Ducks, but instead you got drunk and fell under a bookcase. I'll be amazed you'll ever see him again.
Oh, shut up, Minnie. True love flies in the face of adversity. Doesn't it?
Romantic Friction was feistily written by Michelle Reed and starred seductive Samantha Bond, heaving Hugh Bonneville, and chirpy Kathy Murphy, and also featured the bodice-ripping talents of Cammie Darwish, Andrew Wincott, Adjoa Ando, Michelle Reed, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The pulsating producer was Dawn Ellis.